Hello, this is Janet Gowan with Love Letters Live. And today's guest I met because of a difficult experience I had. And I ended up on the phone with this man. You'll hear about this in a minute. And I just want to say that the connection to Love Letters was that I was going to write him one. And then I decided I can still do that and will. But let's have a conversation about this and let this man speak. The incident was an unfortunate experience I had with Yellow Cab, and I was furious because it hadn't been the first one. And so I called a supervisor, and I didn't get, and I kept getting disconnected. And by the time I got to this man, I was ready to just smack somebody. And on the phone comes a voice, and I knew I had landed safely. This is a voice. This was a voice of a man who was in charge and knew what was customer service and knew what was good and wants to see it done. So I introduced Jim Gillespie, and let's just talk about Yellow Cab. You want to start with like a little history? Because when you said over the phone, I've been driving for, you said 40 years?
45.
45, okay. And I knew that we were of the same generation and we understood each other. What, can you tell me a little history of Yellow Cab or whatever you'd like to say, just to, for starters, to let our listeners know?
Sure. As far as just me and my association with the cab, my dad started driving cab with Rose Cab in 1946 after coming back from World War II. Eventually became a San Francisco fireman, but also ended up owning a taxi medallion and working two jobs for his whole life. I started driving cab when I was 21 in 1969. Yeah. At that time for Luxor Cab.
Now, did you understand at that time, because that was a while ago, and I don't know if it's the same, how critical ground transportation is in life?
Absolutely.
Did you know that as you were driving?
I think so. I think what's different now, there's so many more people, and mm-hmm. there's so many people relying on different modes of transportation, where back then it was either your car, the bus, or a taxi.
Yes, but it was still important how to get around. And what were the values? You had mentioned in our phone conversation that you wanted to get back to what? You know, picking
customers,
the little old lady up at the store and the kinds of things
yes.
that we don't think about so much.
Absolutely. I think, and I think where our conversation went is that customer service is something that really needs to be brought back, I think, in the taxi business as much as I'm in it. We need to reinvent ourselves.
How?
There's a lot of things going on right now. It's all not only through technical aspects, which we're doing. Obviously, apps mm-hmm. have become the buzzword.
Mm-hmm.
We have taxi apps. There's going to be more introduced. They'll just like, I hate to say the word, but Uber.
Say it, because that's critical.
Yeah, well, there's going to be national, international apps for taxis, actually, that are out there now. And we're deciding which ones to embrace here in San Francisco.
Now, I have a question, because I remember when Uber first came upon the scene, and there was a lot of coverage in the newspaper, anyway, about how Yellow Cab drivers didn't want this. And the truth of the matter is, there's so many more people that there's enough for everybody. Is this not true?
Well, it's true. The problem is, and for the last 10 years, myself and other people have asked for more taxis.
Right.
There were more taxis needed in San Francisco. When we had 1,000, we said we needed 2,000. We had 1,500, we said we needed 2,500.
Now, you said that as the head of Yellow Cab. You knew that.
I said it, and other companies were saying it. Some drivers were opposing it because they didn't want the additional competition. They liked being busy.
Yes.
We saw the need for more transportation. So what happened, Uber, Lyft saw a need,
yes,
and they filled it.
Now, wasn't competition ultimately good for everybody?
Our issue with competition is just having things level and equal. My drivers have Department of Justice background checks. Our vehicles have to be inspected every year. We have $1 million coverage insurance 24/7. These other companies, their regulations are being worked on, and some of these type of things will be in place. But right now, there are no regulations in place. So you can basically call up, and it would take you 24 hours to be set up and driving for Uber, Lyft, driving your personal car.
Mm-hmm.
You would not have proper insurance, no background check, no vehicle inspection. That's the issue we have.
Now, people are taking that chance because these other drivers are so gracious and so welcoming. How do you get back? I mean, I'm not the only person. And I'll tell you that you talk to women who get into a cab with a driver who was sullen and grumpy and just not welcoming, you don't feel safe. How do you bring that back?
This is where we need, when I say reinvent ourselves, mm-hmm. I think the part that hopefully the drivers are learning from, you know, why do people like to ride in one of these alternative modes is, hey, I got a nice clean car. Person was friendly to me. I wasn't hassled on the payment.
Right. I think friendly is huge.
It is.
Yes. And you have to feel welcome and safe when you get in the car with a stranger.
I had our annual shareholders meeting yesterday with about 200 cab owners in San Francisco.
Oh, good.
And at that meeting, I did a PowerPoint presentation, and I glossed over technology and those things, and then I emphasized in bigger print on my PowerPoint.
Good for you.
Customer service.
Yes. And so do you talk about specifics? For example, when you call, I mean, there's that I'm torn. There's that two-way deal of technology, which is so great. When I call Yellow Cab, I get a recording that says, if you'd like to be picked up at such and such an address, press 1. If you'd like to be picked up at such and such an address, happens to be mine, press 2. You press 2, and the voice comes and says, your call has been booked. And that's it. And then, if something goes wrong, which it did, and, you know, people can make mistakes. There's nothing wrong with making a mistake. We all make them. The issue is fixing them nicely.
Yes.
So, anyway, there's nobody to talk to. And I don't know how easy it is to have, when you call a business, because you're not the only one, you get a lot of voicemail. And it's too hard to get a person in charge. And I got you, I'm happy to say. I'm thankful for that. But a human being who will say, gosh, I'm so sorry that happened. Let me get you another cab right away.
Well, let me tell you something we're doing. And obviously, it's got to get down to the drivers. Mm-hmm. But part of my thing was customer service was going to start even with our drivers, with my personnel, how they talked to the drivers. Secondly, May 1st, we're actually relocating our call center.
Oh, what does that mean?
I'm hiring all just people that, you know, aren't in the taxi business, but we're putting a professional call center together for people to answer our calls.
Oh, that's wonderful.
There'll be all new people that will just say, hi, thank you so much for calling Yellow Cab. How can I help you today? If you have a problem, people that will help you in such a way, just like when you call the utilities and you have a problem, they never get mad at you or hang up the phone
on
you.
That's true.
They're, you know, they let you abuse them, and they're very friendly.
Oh, that's
and
such a
that's example. That's what we how we need to be. And so May 1st, we're going to have a brand new call center with all new personnel.
Okay, I love everything you said, and probably not for the reasons you think I love it.
Okay.
First of all, I realize that it's probably overwhelming for the four people I spoke to trying to get somebody, a supervisor. It's probably overwhelming. These people aren't educated in how to deal with rage. Unfortunately, their lack of ability increases the rage. So by the time you get to the third person, you're really in a state. And I guess it's unfair to ask these people to know how to deal with this.
Well, you know what? What I've done, and I've just hired two people that were working in our current call center. They're long-time people, really great people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm keeping them, and they're going to be answering our customer service line, and that's probably the line you called on. Right now, I have three full-time assistant managers that are supposed to answer customer service, but if they get busier on the phone, it goes to voicemail. So what I've done, I've hired two people that during the week, during 8 to 5, they're just answering customer service lines.
That's nice. But
so you shouldn't be going to recording or voicemail.
Okay, well, some companies, and I find this, I've gotten used to this, I don't mind it, say, if you'd like us to call you back, please, you know, press 1 and enter your phone number. You will not lose your place in line. And they really do call you back in a couple of minutes. I mean, there are
that's
ways.
That's a great suggestion. I've had that same experience,
yes.
And so that's something we definitely will add to.
And by the way, I don't see what's wrong with starting every, I mean, not to put yourself on the defensive, but starting all these recorded conversations with, I'm so sorry if this inconveniences you, but something to acknowledge that, you know. And the other thing is about when a cab gets to a house and calls. There's an automated call that says the cab driver's in front of the house. You know, maybe he's in front of the house. Most of the time, yes. He could be up the street if it's tricky. But they call, and if you don't pick up, they leave. They assume that you're not there.
And yet you could be on your way down the stairs.
You could be in the bathroom for a minute, you know, and not answer. So in the olden days, which you and I both know about fondly, the cab drivers used to get out of, I mean, there wasn't this automated, they would get out of the cab and they would ring the bell. And they would walk, I mean, for an old woman or people with luggage, they would, is that possible? Is there anything that says they can't do that, like to get out of the cab and go ring the bell? If I don't know what the legal thing is.
I have somebody I'm meeting with this afternoon that's actually somebody that's in the cab business but has worked outside the cab business and wants to do a whole thing of customer service training with our drivers.
That's great.
And so I'm meeting with this person this afternoon to go over what their proposal is. But, yes, we have to – when I talk about reinventing ourselves, not only what we're doing inside the company, but the drivers – step up, and it's stuff that they should be doing anyway because we're in a customer service business.
Yes, and you're in a service where safety is really important.
Absolutely,
in every way. I mean, I don't know how you feel about it as a big man, but getting into a car with a stranger. Now, I'm not ever really worried that somebody's going to do me physical harm. I've had some lovely cab drivers, really lovely cab drivers, but I've had the other also, and I'm not worried about being, you know, slaughtered. But there's something about feeling grumped at and being with somebody who doesn't like you that's just unsettling. Well, I think the ads should be, you know, if you're grumpy, you don't deserve to drive anybody anywhere.
Or if you're grumpy, you shouldn't be a waiter in a restaurant.
Right.
Anything to do with customer service.
That's
because,
right.
You know, cab drivers are in the business to make money, you know.
That's right.
And,
yeah.
You know, 25% of their income is probably from tips. And so if they're not, you know, if they're not going to provide good customer service, right. Why are they driving a cab?
Now, what about Uber? I know you get to rate the drivers.
Yes.
And if they get 3 bum ratings, they're no longer driving.
We've added that to our system now. We have an app, and we have it part of our app system, so mm-hmm. we don't have it on our, you know, hail on the street type pickup. But yes, if you use our app and any of the other apps,
okay.
we're going to get involved and you can rate the driver.
That's good to know. And vice versa, the drivers get to rate the customer.
We haven't set that up yet.
If somebody's abusive, then they don't get picked up anymore.
Yeah.
I think that's only fair. Because drivers have to worry a little bit too about who's getting in their cars, no?
I agree. I don't know that that will go to rating the customers right away. But we want them to rate the drivers.
I mean, we need to insist that people are polite and nice in all areas.
But I think if we start off with good drivers,
yes.
being courteous,
yes.
then they're going to get reciprocation.
Yes. Okay. Now, do you want to say something about tipping, now that you mention it? Because tipping is kind of a murky area, and I think often people don't know what's appropriate and what to do. Is there kind of a rule of thumb about tipping cab drivers?
You know, it's funny. I over the years that I drove, I would get used to knowing probably what people would tip me, and it wasn't always based on percentages. I think the higher the fare is, then people think percentage. For instance, if you go to the airport and it's $45,
yes.
Probably the average tip is, you know, 15 to 20%, kind of similar
so like
to you do at a restaurant.
Yes, okay.
It's the shorter trips that, I get a trip for $4.50. And they'd probably give me $6 because
right.
maybe $5 seemed
yes.
like too little. They give me
yeah.
$6.
Okay.
So sometimes in the shorter trips, the percentages were a little higher.
But 20% is acceptable.
But 20% is an acceptable tip. I know some of the apps out there have where you can say what percentage, and they usually start at 20 and they go 25, 30%.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's helpful. And some people do. So, but I think if you're just saying, hey, what percentage? Very similar to a restaurant, and
okay.
you know that 15 to 20% is acceptable.
So, how do you work on the drivers have a right and should be proud of what they do? Is that relevant? I mean, do people sometimes drive cabs because they don't know what else to do?
No, you know,
in life or
it would be a study. I'd love you to sometime if you're ever interested in that part of it.
I am.
You came down to the cab company at. Between six and seven in the morning, or at between 3 and 5 in the afternoon, and you see the different people. I have drivers that drive in the daytime that are, you know, many of them are degreed
mm-hmm.
individuals.
I've heard that.
Some
yeah.
of them are very proud of the way they dress. They'll wear a tie. There's a fellow that's been with us for many years that has a musical instrument that he takes in the cab with him, and of course doesn't play it while he's driving, but when he has his breaks. But it's a I didn't even know what kind of instrument it is. It's a large corded instrument, but people ask him questions about that, and he'll tell them about his musical background. And there are a lot of interesting people that drive that take the business very serious. That's their office,
mm-hmm.
their profession.
I agree.
And those are the people I'm most proud of.
Now, how do you get new drivers? Because sometimes you see a sign on the cab that says, do you want to drive a cab? What does that take to become a driver?
Yeah, we do that, but I'm not a big proponent of that because I don't think we get a lot of calls. I don't think people look at a bumper of a cab and say, oh, they're hiring.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the cab drivers that we get on are basically referred by other drivers. And we probably hire on the average of 8 to 10 new drivers each week. And most of them came unsolicited, but they knew someone else that drove cab, and they haven't driven before. Some come from pizza delivery and other type of delivery services that they made kind of minimum wage, and they're hoping for an opportunity to make more money by driving a taxi.
Oh, and since they already know their way around town.
Now they've learned taxi by delivery. Now they want to come and drive
now,
taxi.
Now, what about, we have a lot of immigrants who become taxi drivers.
Absolutely.
And I know personally, I have been so charmed. I'm probably not supposed to do this, am I? Well, I'm going to do it anyway. every Russian emigre I have been privileged to ride with has been so nice and so welcoming and so sweet.
What I find for them, a lot of them, you know, I think they appreciate the opportunity to be entrepreneurial, but most of them have been here for a while.
Oh,
so they
right?
still have the accents and so forth, but they've been here for a while. So generally their English is better, which where a lot of people from other countries that are still very gracious people. I mean, we have a large capacity of like Ethiopian or Eritrean drivers.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
a lot of them
I've
have only been in the country like 2 or 3 years. And so I think they're still adapting to maybe our culture and the language.
Okay.
Whereas a lot of the Russian drivers that you speak of, I've known many of them at different cab companies, but most of them have been here for 20 and 30 years.
And also people who leave other countries have often left really high positions and careers, and they come here and they're not equipped to get licenses or to be certified in what they did.
Absolutely.
So we get a lot of really highly educated.
I have doctors, engineers, former pilot in the Egyptian Air Force, driving force, and some really, really highly qualified people. And I think that's what I enjoy most. I'm meeting these people, and regardless if they're an engineer or they're driving a taxi, they're a parent.
And they've come here for the sake of their children.
Yes.
By the way.
And that's what I mean, but they're family people just like you and I.
Yes.
They just come from a different thing, but the fact they're driving a cab doesn't make them any less professional than something else, and that's what I've learned to appreciate and respect.
Right. But, I mean, driving a cab is a good profession and really an important thing to do, as anyone who has ever stood at a street corner knows.
Particularly here in San Francisco.
Yes. But also, they come from other professions. And so I think this is kind of a nice thing to talk about, that the cab drivers we get have really complicated and whole lives that are interesting people more often than not.
Very much so.
Yes. And so you say they've been here for a long time, some of these drivers. I want to know how a cab driver, of course we have GPS now, so that makes it easier, but how a cab driver learns a new city. I mean, you come here from Eritrea, and things are different in different countries, and how in the world do you learn every little alley and corner? You have training programs?
Before they can drive a cab, first of all, they have to go. It's only a one-week class, but they go through a week's class, and part of that is geography of the city.
Mm-hmm.
When they finish that class, they have to go down to MTA, Municipal Transportation Agency, and take a test there. And part of that test also is on geography.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to have, I think, at least a 70% passing rate on the test. So if they take the one-week training, the test at the MTA, they get what they call an A card. It's a permit to drive a taxi.
Mm-hmm.
Then when they come to see us, we actually don't put them through training. The training we put them through for a day or so is really to do with using our equipment and so forth. And we'll interview them first and ask certain questions to make sure that they know the city somewhat. A lot of them do use GPS to help them out. And then it's kind of on-the-job training, too. You know, they learn, I always tell them, even though I was born and raised here, when I was first driving, I didn't know everything. And I had a little byline when somebody got in my cab and they told me where they were going. I'd say, which way do the drivers usually take you?
Okay. Oh, brilliant.
And I even do that. I still drive once in a while now, and I know the city backwards and forwards, but I still ask that question because you might have a preferred way.
Oh, okay. So, and will that be part of your training?
Yes.
Because I think that's critical. I sometimes want to go a certain way because I drive, and I know the quickest way to my house, but I don't feel comfortable saying that because people don't like being told what to do. It's their profession, and they may feel, you know, irritated by being told what to do. So if they ask, that's great.
So if they ask two things, one, even if they think they know, they're going the way you want to go. And for the newer driver, it's a sneaky way of him getting directions for you saying, just take out Gary Boulevard to Masonic.
And sure,
okay, good, I didn't know.
Right.
So it's a good way to
And then a driver doesn't have to say, I'm new at this.
No, and maybe 10% of the time somebody might say, gee, I don't know, I'm new here. Then he's going to have to give it his best shot. But 90% of the time, he's going to get directions and instructions from the passenger.
Oh, that's really good. Okay, so there are definite things to do in training. That's brilliant. And the other, of course, is if somebody makes a mistake, to say, gosh, I'm so sorry, let me correct that.
Absolutely. And I've made a mistake maybe because I misunderstood what they said.
Right.
And maybe I know now the fare is going to be double. And so I'll say, how much do the drivers usually charge you? And they say, well, it's always $10 to get home. And I turn the meter off. I said, and it's $10 today too. And that driver, and I've talked to drivers about that too. That way they're not saying, well, this is the way I thought you told me to go, and now it's $13 instead of $10, and they're upset, and, you know, it just isn't worth it. It's back to customer service.
That's wonderful, yes. And it's better to forego the $3 and have somebody stay with you.
And have a happy customer.
Right.
You know, and it's kind of the karma, too. Then you feel better as the driver, too. You know, you have a happy customer, go on to the next one.
Yes. And sometimes you get somebody who legitimately doesn't know how to solve a problem, but argue with you. Oh, and you'll never have anybody to say, I understand your frustration, will you? You get that sometimes when you call a company and you're upset and they say, well, I understand your frustration.
But.
Oh, it's so condescending. And by the way, you're miles past frustration. You know, if you.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's not a good one.
No. Okay, so there are things to know that people do automatically, and you don't look like an automatic kind of person. You are a thoughtful, dear man.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing this with me. So I'm just curious because I always ask this at about this time, and you're off the hook in a way because your connection to Love Letters is that you deserve one. Do you ever get them from, do your drivers ever get letters of appreciation that you know about?
Yeah, they do.
Or how would we do that if we wanted to send to a driver?
Well, what's happening, you know, I'm getting more in emails now because people are using different media, but occasionally a letter will come in, particularly if it's an older person that still writes letters and puts a stamp and they live in the
avenues. Excuse me, younger people, you can do it too.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
But I do it, unfortunately, you know, obviously it's easier for people to complain, and so we get a lot of complaints, but occasionally I'd say, I'm talking about where I get complaints every day, I probably get compliments about maybe once a week.
Okay, so we need to correct that in life, I believe. If you get a letter that says, I'm so grateful that you did this, this was great, what's your response? You try to do that more often, don't you?
Absolutely. Well, I think, you know, when I get complaints, I don't dismiss them.
Right.
And I'll usually call the people, and I'll put it in the driver's file. And even though maybe I wasn't there, maybe it wasn't as bad as they made it sound, but if I get a second or third complaint on that driver, then I know where there's smoke, there's fire.
Okay.
And so I will keep track. When I get a compliment, I keep that also and put it in the driver's file, and I make a copy of it. Even if it's an email, I make a copy, and
good
I get it to the driver and thank him for doing good work out there that people would, you know, compliment, because it not only reflects on him, but it reflects on Yellow Cab and his fellow drivers.
So, and I do think that people learn to do better through compliments than they do through criticism.
Absolutely.
Because then they know what they should be doing.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you so much for doing this.
My pleasure.
And I look forward to being back in Yellow Cab.
Okay.
And, excuse me, yes, and it's just nice knowing you're taking all these steps. And I think all of this will reflect and people will notice it.
I hope so.
Yes, I'm sure of it. So thank you again. And I just want to remind you that if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, a thank you and an appreciation to a cab driver who has gotten you cheerfully and safely to where you want to go is a wonderful opportunity to write a love letter. So until next time, this is Janet Gallen saying goodbye.